Welcome again, everyone, as we are gathered today in person and online. Right now, we're having just about as many people as we can figure out online as we do in person. So if you are online today, I'm going to ask you for some help. We want you to comment in the comment section. Just say hi if you haven't already. Maybe mention how many people are with you or how many are watching or your kids are watching today. We just want to know you're there. We want to have some interaction with you and for those that are there. So go ahead and comment online throughout the message and throughout the service today. So as we begin, we read in 1 Peter 1:3, God in his great mercy has given us new birth into a living hope. And that is where we step into Advent this season. Lord, we thank you for the hope that you have poured into our hearts. Help us to hear your message today that we may live in hopeful anticipation of what is to come. In Jesus' name, amen. So God, in his great mercy, has given us new birth into a living hope. And it's times like these that we definitely need a living hope. Do you have it? Do you have hope that in the end, everything is going to work out? That the troubles that we face today will be turned into good for tomorrow. That on the other side of this pandemic, or the other side of a personal strife, or maybe on the other side of a broken relationship, a spouse or a family member, a child, or the other side of maybe a financial hardship, will ultimately be even better than it is right now. It'll turn out even better than it ever was. So in the middle of a painful or hurtful or broken situation, do you find yourself today with a living hope? Or are you caught up in a doom cycle that leaves you anxious and even more worried, unable to see any light shining in the darkness that you're facing today? Are you just feeling hopeless? I can assure you that wherever you are on that hope scale today, you're not alone. You know, some of us in one day, we can go all the way from despair to great joy and great hope. And that's just the place we're at. We need this reassurance today that things will be all right. You know, we need to believe that we're not just hearing the words, you know, things are going to be okay. You know, that's good to hear, but that they actually will turn out better as we wait for this great anticipation of what is to come. J. Kim, he writes that hope is an expectant leap. So how far are you ready to leap today as we step into hope? So we need to hope more now, I believe, than we ever have. And it's this time or theme for the first Sunday of Advent, hope, and it's a great place to begin. So as we do, I want to just make an acknowledgement that some source material that I'm using today comes out of Christianity Today, a special Advent devotion called Living Hope. It's a project editor is Kelly Trujillo. So I decided to take a more normal approach to the season today than maybe what we kind of traditionally do. Normal meaning that stepping into the rhythms of the church, stepping into the rhythms of the calendar year as we walk out this Advent season. The hope is that in the midst of all the turbulence and changes and things that are upside down, we might find a confident reassurance as we're stepping into God's timing and into God's purpose. So if you've been around the church for some years, then you probably will recognize some of these themes. But if you're brand new with us, then you're in for a great surprise as we look at the four great themes of waiting. So waiting, and it focuses on one single future event, ultimately the return of Jesus. So we join the psalmist in asking, how long? How long? Have you asked that in the past few months? How long is this going to go on? How long do I have to put up with all the things that it seems I'm putting up with? How long before things get better? Maybe you've been echoing the prayer of the psalmist in Psalm 80, chapter 4 through 7. He says, how long, Lord God Almighty, will your anger smolder against the prayers of your people? You have fed them with the bread of tears. You have made them drink tears by the bowlful. You have made us an object of derision to our neighbors, and our enemies mock us. Restore us, God Almighty. Make your face shine on us, that we may be saved. How long, right, is this going to go on? Does it seem like your prayers go unanswered, like the psalmist? You know, when will you find relief? When will we be restored? So if you're asking these same questions that the psalmist is asking, then I think the prophet Isaiah has some inspired words for us today. He speaks a prophetic hope. And that's a special kind of hope, prophetic hope. It's a hope that is rooted in the spoken word of God, a prophetic hope. In the second part of the book of Isaiah, beginning in chapter 40, after all the doom and the gloom of words of judgment and difficulty as Israel is in exile, things are terrible, and the prophet begins to speak God's message. He says this, the time has finally come. You know, if we hear that today, our ears perk up, right? The time has come. And he says this, comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. In other words, after 70 long years of exile and pain and being away from everything that hope seems to entail, those days are coming to an end. Their suffering is about to be finished. And here's the important part, I think, for all of us today. Their hope is reawakening with holy anticipation for what's to come. Are you ready for some holy anticipation? If you feel like you've been walking in darkness for most of 2020, then listen to what the prophet speaks for days past and for days to come. He says, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. I know that these feel like very dark days for some of you. We feel the burden of this prolonged upside-down world. We feel it in our daily routines. We feel it in the tension in our conversations. You know, there's just something there. We feel it in the limitations and the uncertainties. We feel it in fears and concerns. We maybe simply feel it in the inconsistencies and misunderstandings we encounter almost on a daily basis. Maybe in the very things that we've always taken for granted. And we're just sick of it. We're just ready to give it all up. Be done. You know, in the middle of the darkness, we might forget for a moment that we are people of light. That we are not hopeless. We are hope-filled people. So we need to reclaim and redeem all that we have access to. It's that living hope through new birth by faith in Jesus Christ. The letter of Hebrews says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. It is the conviction of things not yet seen. You know, conviction, assurance of things hoped for. This is the theme of the first Advent Sunday, and really it's not too soon for us. Because when we embrace hope, it eases our hardship. When we are encouraged to go ahead and anticipate a better future. It's not wishful thinking. It's a certain future. I gotta say that again. It's not wishful thinking. It's a certain future. One that we are confident is about to come. I find that, for me, it's really easy to get stuck in the present circumstances. You know, I figured I can endure this. I can go on, right? We can handle some of this, a month or two or three. But, you know, how long's it been? 9 months and going on 10? I don't know. It's easy to wallow, right? It's easy to have a pity party. Oh, poor me. I don't get to feel bad, to get negative, to grumble and complain and grumble some more and complain some more. Just see all the negative stuff. See all the dark side of things. It's in these places that I realize that I really need a recalibration of hope. Maybe you're there too. Do you need a hope recalibration? It starts with a holy anticipation. Say that with me. Holy anticipation. Near the end of the book of Isaiah, in chapter 64 through 66, the prophet, he speaks about the restoration of God's people as they look ahead. The prophet speaks of our future. He says, "Behold, I will create," God speaking, "I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind." So imagine that, all our troubles fading away, so much so that we don't even think about them. We don't even remember them. They're all past. Now we are stepping into this glorious future that God has prepared for his people. We anticipate it. It's that confident hope of the children of God. The Bible even says that the Bible is written that we may believe in Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing we may have life in his name. Now this is life in abundance now and in the days to come. Life in all of its fullness. Life in all of the promises that God has for us. Now fulfilled in Christ. That's what we are looking ahead to. We don't have to wonder. We don't have to be unsure. Is this going to come? Our future, it's set. It's certain. Hope says in Revelation that I am coming soon. Mark's gospel says the time is near. Watch and wait. You see, our Christian hope is rooted in holy anticipation of God's certain outcomes. So how much do we really live like that? How much do we really anticipate what's coming? Did you catch any Black Friday one-day deals? No. I had to go online and browse. You know, I don't want to miss out. It's Black Friday. You know, it's the best deals of the year. So I had to at least go on and see what is there. And as I was doing, I was feeling this anticipation. Ooh, I can't wait to see what's there. I felt like, you know, I'm going to miss if I don't. So I found something. I did. I found a DeWalt, of course, 20-volt multi-pack, 5 tools in 1 pack, special. And you know what I did? I put it in my shopping cart, just in case. You never know. And I didn't click checkout. It just stayed there in the shopping cart. I was, you know, kind of like excited. This is pretty cool. I did show it to Cheryl. So I Googled how many people are like me. How many go to a website, fill their cart, and then abandon it? Abandonment statistics report. The site called SleekNote, they did this survey. They calculated that the average cart abandonment is just under 70%. 70%. So 7 out of 10 shoppers, they don't complete their transaction. That was back in January of 2020. So after the pandemic had got rolling in March, the abandonment rate was up to 88% for online shoppers. I'm pretty sure most of that was toilet paper, but you know, I don't have statistics for that. So let me ask you, how many of you left an abandoned online shopping cart this Thanksgiving shopping season? Anybody? Sure. And I'm not even going to ask if you left one in the store, okay? But those numbers represent, if anything, a whole lot of wishful thinking, right? Without much conviction. So here's what happened with my shopping cart. I put it on hold. I didn't check out. So when I went back to it the next day, it said, "This deal has expired." And I was like, "Oh." You know, I was a little twinge of, oh, I really missed out here. But you know, the interesting thing is, I was never expecting to buy it in the first place. I never expected it. So I think our hope can be a little bit like an abandoned shopping cart. We're not really expecting things to happen. At least not on our watch. You know, we're hoping, but we're just kind of, you know, letting hope slide. We feel a little bit like I woulda, I shoulda, I coulda, but you know, I didn't really expect it anyway. There's this saying that says, nothing ventured, nothing gained, right? There's also one that says, nothing ventured, nothing lost. When it comes to hoping, if we don't get our hopes up, we might feel like we're just protecting ourselves from getting disappointed, you know, if it doesn't happen. But it's far more critical than that. For a follower of Jesus, we lose something irreplaceable when we fail to get our hopes up. In the middle of trials and struggles, the Bible says, hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us. You know, it's in this passage that Paul writes, you know, suffering leads to perseverance, perseverance leads to character, character leads to hope, and hope does not disappoint us, for God has poured out his love in our hearts through Jesus Christ. So let me ask you today, are you getting your hopes up? And if you are, what are you really hoping for? Do you know? What are you struggling with? Turn it into hope. Are you struggling with the way things are turning out in our nation? Turn that into hope for what it can be. Are you struggling with the way the economy is right now? Turn that into hope for what could be. Are you struggling with the way that, you know, our children may be hurt by violence or sex trafficking or drugs or just the social interruptions of 2020? Turn that into hope for what it could be for the future. You know, marriages are struggling. We face sickness. We may worry about our grandchildren. We may even worry about our churches. You know, are we going to be able to survive? Are we going to hold it together? Is tension going to pull us apart? You know, turn that struggle into hope for what God's intention is for the future. Whatever trials and struggles that we face today, turn that into hope for what it could be. So what are you hoping for? Sometimes our hopes are born out of our fears and anxieties and doubts. You know, we have a lot of that. So we have potential for huge hope. Rather than ignoring these, hope confronts them. So whatever we face, we can turn into a confident expectation, a prophetic hope with God as our source. The prophet speaks of God saying this: the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. The people living in the land of deep darkness, a light has shined. So how do we turn our trials into these holy anticipations? Especially when the whole world seems to be without a confident expectation of the future. So how can we be people who shine living hope from within? Well, I think we do it by acting on our hope. By living out, acting out what it is we're hoping for. So here's the reality. If hope is not out in front of us, if it's not an active anticipation, you know, we're just filling our shopping cart with wishful thinking, and then we're abandoning it at checkout. Hope not acted on is hope abandoned. It's not really hope at all. So what does it look like to go all in with hope this Advent season? What does it take to actually act on hope? Well, we go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 64, the reading for today. In verses 1 through 9, we see what it looks like to be God's people with holy anticipation for what God has promised to do. So the prophet prays to God. He says, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you, as when fire sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil. Come down to make your name known to your enemies and cause the nations to quake before you. For when you did awesome things that we did not expect, you came down and the mountains trembled before you." So we act on hope when we pray our hope. Say that with me. Pray our hope. This may be a new idea to you, but actually putting our hope into prayer, praying what we're hoping for. In his article, Why We Still Prophesy Hope, Dante Stewart, he writes, "Whatever hope is, there is something deep within each of us that cries out in expectation." I think that really is describing the heart of prayer, right? Something deep within inside of us that is crying out in expectation to God. You know, God, how long? Come, Lord. So the prophet's deepest hope is his prayer. "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down." So he remembers how God acted in this shock and awe as he came on Mount Sinai. You know, lightning, thunder, it rumbled, and all God's people were in awe. The prophet wants this to happen, so God's people once again will see that and put hope in the God of the universe. I think prayer activates our hope. Prayer transforms our troubles into hope. So if you're lagging in hope this Advent season as we're beginning, go all in by praying your hope. You know, pray it over and over as it becomes instilled within. Because hope doesn't disappoint us. You know why? Because God loves us. God wants the best for us. God wants to pour out his love in our lives. God wants us to hope for his future. So if you're not sure what you're hoping for, which I have to actually say that as I thought about this and what I'm really hoping for, it wasn't really that obvious. So what are you hoping for? Maybe a good place to begin is with what Anne Lamott says in Bird by Bird. She said, hope begins in the dark. What's dark in your life? What's dark in the world? Where does light need to shine? Where is your heart aching for hope to break in, for that light of God's promise to be fulfilled? Dante Stewart, he writes, sometimes hope seems to be the only language powerful enough to counter despair. So maybe that's our prayer, is, Lord, where does hope need to overcome that despair in my heart? And we can be confident then that God will answer that prayer. Isaiah writes, before they call, God speaking, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. And then when God reveals that, then turn that back to God in prayer. Isaiah writes, since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. So this Advent season, we shine our living hope as we act on it, by praying our hope, and number two, by naming our conflicts. By naming our conflicts. With every hope that we have, we seem to carry these inconsistencies, these discrepancies with the way we live our lives versus what we're actually hoping for. You know, I call it the conflict of hope. You know, they're little, or maybe they're not so little dilemmas that we have, that we hope for something that is inconsistent with the way we're living our lives. You know, in those inconsistencies, something has to give. And that's kind of the pain of hope. You know, we're hoping, but we're not realizing it in the here and now. Isaiah meets up with this conflict of hope in verses 5 through 7. So as I read this, see if you can recognize where the wrestling comes. He's speaking to God. He says, God, you come to help those who gladly do right, who remember your ways. But when we continue to sin against them, you are angry. How then can we be saved? All of us have become like the one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. No one calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have given us over to our sins. So this prophet's great desire to meet God, it's eclipsed by the expectation of God's holiness in light of their filthy rags. Even their good deeds don't stand up, don't measure up to God. It's just impossible. How can we have the God of holiness and glory come down and be amongst people who are unholy? So on our own merits, God is unapproachable. So Isaiah's hope is almost eclipsed by the truth of who we are. So we have to tell the truth of pain and even the pain of hope. Dante Stewart, he writes, I sat down with my grandmother some time ago and asked her to tell me about her life. At first, she didn't want to. One can only imagine what deep scars her soul has borne over 80 years. Her stories were hard. It's difficult to describe what it meant for her to live in the South as a black woman. One word seemed to captivate the audacity of survival in the midst of a cruel world. Love. She said, the Lord hasn't failed me yet. So naming that conflict in our hope, it moves us beyond our inconsistencies to trust in hope that is beyond our accomplishing. The reality that we can't do this on our own, but there is hope greater than what we can do. As I was thinking about my hopes, and when I get past the hope that COVID will get over and we'll get back to normal, you know, I was thinking about what I really am hoping for. You know, the greatest hope that I have for Cheryl and I is that we would live into God's call and promise in our lives and fulfill, you know, all of those hopes and callings, that we would honor God with all of our lives, every aspect. I mean, ultimate hope. But then I think, well, it doesn't really end there, though. You know, I hope the same thing for all of our kids, that they will walk with the Lord and that they will honor God and give glory to Him, that they will live into the abundance and fullness in all of God's promises. You know, that's my hope, but it doesn't stop there. As I consider, I think about my grandkids. Well, I want them to be included in that, to enjoy all that God has and to honor Him in their lives, even in the struggles and difficult parts. But it doesn't end there either. I think about all of you, the church, all of us together, that we would fulfill our calling of making followers of Jesus, who make followers of Jesus, that you online would continue to join us and that we would walk more and more in the light of Christ and be a light to the nations, that we would live into all that great hope and promise that God has for us. So as I think about all that I hope, I think, how can I even have a holy anticipation for all of that when I myself have all these inconsistencies in my own life about living up to what my hope says? So when we hope, we wrestle with that reality that there's so much that is left on the table, so much unaccomplished, so much unrealized, and yet I still hold on to that confident expectation that it is not all up to me. It's not all up to you. My hope, our hope, is rooted in what God can do and His transforming grace in our lives. So that hope now gets legs that go far beyond anything that I can ask or imagine. He can do exceedingly abundantly more. So we have confident assurance that there is light shining in the darkness, and that it is greater than my conflicts of hope, our conflicts. So we keep shining our hope and living out this Advent season as we pray our hope, as we name our conflicts and turn them over to God, and then we give hope time. The psalmist says, "Yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay, you are the potter, we are all the works of your hands." Give hope time. It's so easy to get impatient with hope. It's so easy to get impatient, right? Come on, Pastor Tim, what's next? We get impatient with hope. Like the Prophet Isaiah, "How long, Lord? I've been waiting." But he describes that hope works like the potter and the clay. The clay doesn't demand anything from the potter. The potter is free to create whatever the potter chooses. In this illustration, God is the potter, we are the clay. If you've ever seen a potter work, it's very amazing in what they do. The first thing they do is they have to throw the clay. They have to get the clay moldable and soft and pliable. And so they actually take it and throw it down on the wheel or the board, and then they move it around, push it hard, and then throw it again. And it's really a strenuous process. And as you think about that, as you think about that clay being thrown and shaped and made pliable, you know, that's like the troubles and difficulties in our lives. You know, they're hurtful, they're painful, but they're necessary in order to get that clay moldable. And then the potter will begin to shape that clay and begin to form something out of it. And you begin to see, as the potter works with that shape come into being. And in many cases, it actually begins to look quite amazing. And sometimes the potter will almost even finish what they're working and then does something really kind of counterintuitive. They take that work of art and then they smash it all down again into one big old clump. And the reason for that is it's a process of working out the impurities and continuing to soften the clay so that now it becomes even more pliable. You know, those struggles and trials that we're facing, that waiting on hope, is simply giving hope time to do its work. And then, now with the clay completely moldable, the potter begins to shape that final vessel and creates something far more amazing than was ever possible before all of that work. That's hope's work within us. The prophet concludes that our trials are turned into hope. He says, "Do not be angry beyond measure, Lord. Do not remember our sins forever. Oh, look on us, we pray, for we are all your people." Maybe you're listening today and you're questioning, can we really be confident like that? That God, in his time, will make all things right. Or maybe you're wondering if it's actually safe to hope beyond what we can see and experience. You know, a lot can happen. A lot does happen that is not what we hope for, is not what we ever imagined. Dante Stewart, he says that to prophesy hope is a dangerous love. But hope is our heritage. Hope will not disappoint us. The Apostle Paul, he prophesied hope for the church when he wrote to the Corinthians. He said, "He will also keep you firm to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, hope has endurance. Hope has legs. Give hope time, because we have a holy expectation that whatever we face, we know that Jesus is coming soon. So this Advent season, act on hope as you pray your hope. Maybe for the first time, pray your hope. And then name hope's conflicts and then turn them over to God for what he can do and give hope time. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light because Jesus is returning soon.